As I said, there is a great thing in us being here tonight, and God is doing something wonderful. I want to read just a little bit to you tonight from over in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to read along with me. Beginning with the first verse, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And at last, of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communication, corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain and make chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on an incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I was reading quite a bit tonight, but I wanted to get over some thoughts here as to what I had in my heart, that you might understand what I'm saying. Tonight, being here is a great thing. I'm not just here by chance. Brother Red hasn't built this building by chance. God hasn't sent him here into what you might refer to as a wilderness just by chance. You people haven't gathered here tonight just by chance. Brother Marlowe isn't here tonight by chance. There's a positive reason for us congregating here tonight, and a positive reason for me being here tonight to expound to you a little bit concerning the Word. Now, some of you perhaps are not in remembrance of the meetings that we had not too long ago, whereas there were seven of them in succession. And the last one that we had was around Cordell. And a certain thing happened that night that had to do with this meeting here that we're having tonight. God has His way in the life of every individual. No matter what we do, God is governing our lives. We love to believe that we're doing things on our own, but we are bought with a price, and the Bible tells us that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. No matter what we plan in our life, it always goes the way God has ordained for it to go. I've often made the statement that we either serve the law by a willing heart or we serve the law out of constraint. We either serve God as a willingness of heart or we serve God because God has ordained that we serve Him. Now we can serve Him in the sense of being a son and commit ourselves unto Him and have all the benefits, or we can serve Him by constraint as a servant that is here for a time, whereas the servant abideth not in the house forever, and the son abideth forever. So then we serve the law, either because it demands that we obey it, or either because we are willing to submit to it. Whichever way it is, we do obey the law. And it's the same way with God. We serve God if we're willing to submit to God, to fast and pray and to search our hearts and try to find what God has got for us, and that's good and well. But if we're not willing to do it, then God moves us about just as one that would play chess and move the chess about on the board. For God positions us in life according to our ordination, according to His own purpose, that He might bring to pass every spiritual plan of His and every revelational purpose that God has foreordained in Christ before the world ever was. I'm glad tonight because I can understand these wonderful things in God. Something is truthfully and wonderfully taking place. I'm so glad tonight to be here. I'm so thankful. I appreciate so very much having a chance to talk with you about Jesus. And I trust tonight that God will drop something into our hearts and into our lives in the way of understanding to make us to know that the coming of the Lord is so near at hand. Right? We're right at the verge of the coming of the Lord. War again looks like that in spite of all that they can do, it looks like it will break out between the Arabs and between the Jews. Though Kissinger is trying so hard to keep peace, yet the Bible said when they cry peace, sudden destruction shall come upon them. And right at this very hour, it looks like the greatest calamity that has ever befallen the world is about to come upon us. One great psychic has predicted that in this coming year, in the year of 76, that Russia will attack America in this coming year. He's made a lot of predictions and they seem to have come to pass, and he's predicted that in this coming year that Russia will strike America. Brother Branham has predicted that in the coming, not in the coming year, but in 77, which is just before us, that America will be blown to bits, or that is, he saw her in ashes. That means that everything seems to be pointing to the consummation, not only of America, but of mankind and of the world. But I'm glad that in the midst of all of the confusion, as our brother sang, that there is grace, 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 grace for every need. If there's anything the world needs tonight, it's grace. If there's anything that we are in need of as people, it's the grace of God, because there's no way to survive in the age that we're living in unless we come into the grace of God. We must have the grace of God. People are stumbling and staggering everywhere. It's no wonder the Bible said that if God did not shorten the days for the elect's sake, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. Because even the most devout people are beginning to stumble. They're beginning to be crushed under the weight of the evil powers and influences of Satan. The very days are evil. Satan has infested the very air that you're breathing. And the Bible said that Satan is the prince of the powers that is in the air, that comes upon the children of disobedience, whereas they're taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And so then the very atmosphere is contaminated with demon powers. And those powers are all around you. And you're in a world of darkness. Though we've got lights in here tonight, look around the building, we've got plenty of light. But according to the Bible, the only light that's in the world is a spiritual light. That is the divine presence of God and the mind of Jesus Christ. And if that light isn't present, we don't have any light, folks. We're in a world of darkness. That's why that we have to create the right atmosphere. We come into this world in a world of darkness, and we have to come into the presence of God by praying, by rejoicing, by speaking the word. That's why Paul exhorted us, said that we should pray that God would give unto us the spirit of revelation. The church world today doesn't have the spirit of revelation, but we're supposed to be a church that's built upon the rock of revelation. Paul said, may God give unto you the spirit of revelation. What the church world needs tonight is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If they had the spirit of revelation tonight, the whole entire thing would be changed. But as long as we go to church, as long as we hear sermons, as long as we have no desire for spiritual understanding, as long as we don't seek spiritual revelation, it doesn't matter if we fast, it doesn't matter if we pray, it doesn't matter if we prophesy, it doesn't matter if we predict, that's not going to take us out of this world. There is a spiritual thing that God's doing, and we've got to get a hold of that spiritual thing. Paul said that God chose him from his mother's womb that he might reveal Christ in his life. That's the calling of the church tonight, is that Christ might be revealed in your life. If you're not revealing Christ in your life to the world tonight, you're coming short of the plan and program of God. How many of you know that's true? So then God has got a divine purpose for us tonight. He's got a divine plan. That's why that we ought to pray, children of God, and say, Lord, your will be done. Father, your will be done. We love to believe that we're controlling our lives and that we're going where we want to go and that we're doing what we want to do. But God is moving us wherever he wants us to be. God creates the good, and God creates the evil, and God has his way in all of it. The Bible said, can evil come to a city, and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? Can it? Can any bad thing happen in a town, and God has not sinned it? We say, by chance, Lord, I feel that I can get by. Look at the young generation. The young generation will spin their wheels, run down the street, break all the laws, do everything contrary, won't listen to mother and daddy. Isn't that right? And they feel like that they can get by with it. You know why? Because they feel like dad wasn't as smart as they are. They feel like my dad's a great man and he's pretty smart, but he just isn't quite as smart as I am. I've learned just a little bit more. Seeing they feel like they can take their chance, and they feel like they can whirl that wheel around, you know, and take their chance, and they can make it when somebody else didn't make it. But the one thing that we overlook, folks, is the fact that the Bible said that God can lead us into temptation. We pray, God, lead us not into temptation. God leads us into temptation. When we don't listen to the preacher, when we don't obey the prophet of God, when we don't obey the evangelist, when we don't obey the pastors, then God leads us into temptation. God does it. Amen. You can spin your wheels all you want to. You can feel like you can maneuver things and engineer things your way. But God is going to lead you into temptation. Let me tell you something, folks. You can't play a game with God. There's no way to play a game with God. People that have come into the understanding of God are in the most dangerous place of any people. The Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You've not fallen into the hands of a living God until you come to the knowledge of God. Once you come to know God, you're then in the presence of the hands of God. And you cannot do the way that other people do. There's no way that you can get by with it. You follow me? A lot of people feel like, well, I've heard this and I know it's right. And I've heard Daddy preach it. I've heard Brother Red preach it. I've heard Brother John preach it. I've heard somebody else preach it. Are you listening? But they feel like I'm just not ready for it yet. Now, I want you to listen, folks. They feel like I'm not quite ready for it yet. But someday I'm going to come back to it because I know that Daddy's right. I know that Brother Red is right. I know that Brother John is right. I know that this preaching is right. Someday I'm coming back to it. But let me tell you something, friend. Now you listen real close. Someday you will not come back to it. I said that if you know the truth and you come to the truth and God gives you the truth, you will never get back to it someday. You say, but Brother Pike, that isn't right. That is absolutely thus saith the Lord. That's God's word. He said that once you come to the enlightenment of the Word, once you come to the understanding of God, he said, and then you turn away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sins, but only the fearful looking far of the judgment of God and the fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries of God. People have some idea that we're playing a game. And they could come to the knowledge of God and decide it's just not convenient for them at this season. And so then, in that it's not convenient, they'll just change the situation and wait till a more convenient day. Let me tell you something, folks. If it takes you 30 years to come to the knowledge of God, that's all right. If it takes you 50 years, you're all right. I would that you were hot or cold. And as long as you haven't come to the knowledge of God, there is the grace of God for you. But the day that you come to the knowledge of God, you can't start making decisions then that it's not convenient, because God is looking down from heaven and God has ordained that men serve him. God has created you and me. He's made the world for his purpose. He's made humanity for his purpose. And he set this world here that he might be controller of it, that he might be the governor of it, that he might have it for his own glory and you for his own glory. And when you refuse to go God's way, he said, I will pursue you until you perish from over the face of the earth, God said. Not that the devil will pursue you. God said, I will lead you into temptation. I will pursue the wicked till he perish from over the face of the earth. God is against you every day when you disobey him. So often I make the statement, we love to use the term that God is smiling upon us. We love to say that God loves everybody. And I want you to know that in the day that we're living in, it is a day of grace. And because of the blood atonement that's still on the seat of mercy, God is still letting men get by. God is still letting youth go by. Though God himself is very angry with the youth of today, because he said there would come a generation that would hate mother, that would despise father, that would curse them. He said it'll be a wicked and an evil and an adulterous generation. He said a generation that would continually seek after a sign. He said this generation would be an evil, wicked, adulterous generation. And he promised to rain fire and brimstone out of heaven upon them. It is a crooked generation, a perverse generation, wicked, that will not honor, that will not reverence, that will not obey. We are not playing a game. People have misrepresented the gospel. They've gotten people into such a place till people think that the gospel is something that's optional, that they can take, like insurance, they can take it out in the first year. They are lucky and don't die, they can leave it alone and take it out in the second year. And if they're real fortunate and got good strength and health and can make it to the fifth year, they can take it out in the fifth year. But I want you to know that God doesn't work like that. This is not optional. Peter did not say it was optional. He did not preach it was optional. But he preached that you have to repent of your sins. He said, repent or perish, he said. Every one of you has got to repent of your sins. Not only repent, but as the Catholics teach it, you can't just repent, but he said, forsake your sins. Amen. You've got to get away from them. Hallelujah. This is not something that we're playing with. It's not something optional, Brother Red. It is a necessitated thing in life. God has made a world. He's made a people. He is demanding that this world be run accordingly. He is demanding that these people obey accordingly. He has set in this great generation the ministry. He has set a fivefold ministry in this generation that will never hold their peace. He says unto the ministry, I have set ye as watchmen upon the walls. He said, O watchmen, what of the night? He said, and these watchmen shall never hold their peace. At that midnight cry, everyone was asleep but those watchmen. God suffered the church to go to sleep. God suffered the world to go to sleep. But them watchmen that was on the wall were still awake, and they were still watching at the midnight hour. He said, watchmen, what of the night? That watchman was still watching. Hallelujah, that little flame was still burning. That watchman was still there. He was watching in the dark. The Old Testament, the old cities, they had watchmen on the wall. And while the people slept at night, as the enemy moved in, if that watchman did not sound that alarm, then the blood would be on his hands. Because those people was helpless and they were asleep. And folks, I want you to know tonight that folks are asleep in the church. Folks are asleep in the world, and the watchmen are screaming out at this last hour, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Awake ye, trim your lamps, and go out to meet him, for the hour of the judgment is at hand. Behold, the bridegroom is at the door. The time of the coming of Jesus Christ is here. The world is in a turmoil, nothing but troubles and problems. The spirit that is around us, the evil powers, are closing in, and the oppression is becoming greater and greater and greater. Why is it? Because the grace of God and the Spirit of God is lifting more and more and more. It's being taken away. Why is the grace of God leaving us? It's for this reason, because where there is a knowledge of God and a greater knowledge, there is required a greater service, a greater surrender, a greater obedience, and we're failing to move with the light. He commanded us to walk in the light. He said to walk in the light, and the light is getting brighter in the last days. Knowledge shall increase. But we're not walking in the light. When we refuse to accept the light of God, then the world becomes darker. In this world, how many of you know that God reckons time from evening till morning? He said He created in the garden, and then from the evening till the morning was the first day. Is that right? Ever since Adam fell from that garden, it's been a dark night to God. Because he fell out of the light of the Shekinah glory of God, fell into the carnal mind of the beast, and from that time life has been veiled in a body of darkness. And we've been down here in a world of darkness, but one day the day sprang from on high. One day the bright of the morning star came down to earth, enveloped in human garment. Hallelujah, standing behind a badger skin, walked among his people, stood there. As he came down, he said, I am the light of the world. And he lit the little candles like the old lamplighter along the street as he lit them, going from place to place. And then when he'd finished his job, he said, I go back to where I came from. I return to where I came from. I came from the Spirit. I go back to the Spirit. But he said, now you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And even though your measure might not be as great as somebody else's measure, yet when we get all of the little candles together and we come together in assembly, we can create an atmosphere and we can drive the evil forces back to where they can't contaminate the place where we're at. To get God to come down in our midst, you know what we have to do? Little David played on his harp and the evil powers went away. When the old prophets got ready to prophesy, they played the timbrel. And when we want to come together, when we get together, brethren, want all of us come together in brotherly love, then we create an atmosphere. We light up a light. We drive back the darkness, and Christ steps in the middle of it. Then He begins to speak to us. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought to know that we have the power to bring light into the world. Tonight, coming out here, we stopped at a place. I noticed that the paper stated that 700 people was trapped in the mines of India. I looked at it. I turned to my wife and I said, Betty, how horrible. 700 people trapped in the mines of India. And I believe another paper said as many as 250. And they're not sure how many. But I said, Betty, I said, those people are trapped. They're trapped there tonight, just like we're here. But folks, they're not trapped near as much as you're trapped. They're trapped in a natural mind just to show us the calamity that's befallen the people. You're trapped and shut off from the breath of God in that you haven't obeyed God, haven't walked with God, haven't gone on with God. You say, Brother Pike, that couldn't be. But I recall the vision I had a few nights back, as I walked around, just strolling down the streets, and I heard something. I thought it was a church. I ran over to it, and I thought people was loving the Lord. And I looked, and teenagers and young people, old people alike, was gathered around this great thing. And I suddenly realized that I'd found myself at a ball game. And there I was. I had patches on my clothes. I was poor. And there I stood in the midst of them. And they were praying for their ball teams, praying that God would make their ball team to win. And God showed me it was such a terrible abomination in His sight, until I walked off from it so disappointed. I started down the street, and as I did, out of nowhere, there seemed to be a great entombment, a great tomb, a capsule, that appeared to rise up out of the earth, a huge, monstrous thing. All of a sudden, a door opened from the side of it, and I stepped in subconsciously. I just stepped into it, and the great seal went back, and the door closed, and I looked, and there was no door. a great embodiment, an entombment. There I was entombed, and I couldn't find any door. There was no door. And I looked, and behind me there was people that was walking like zombies. Some mothers had little babies in their arms walking lifeless. No goal, no vision, just looking straight ahead. Just walking, no life. The little babies in their arms. And I looked, and they were coming from this direction. And I watched as they walked on. And I looked ahead of them, and it looked like a great bottomless pit that was out there, and they were walking away into endlessness, walking away into darkness, walking away into terror. I had the most horrible feeling, the most terrifying thoughts. And I screamed and I cried within. And I said, God, let me out of this place. What am I doing in here? God, let me out. And all of a sudden the door opened and I stepped out of the entombment. And I stepped out on the street and I saw the sunshine. I saw the beautiful thing that was around me. And I began to breathe the air of God. And I felt so wonderful. I began to sing a song. And a song flooded my heart. And I said, oh Lord. I said, what is that? And God said, these are the people that you saw at the ball game. He said, this is the condition of them, my son. This is the condition of the people of the world. They're lifeless and they're entombed and they're enslaved by the powers of Satan. And I began to sing a song. And Brother Taylor and them sang that song so often up at the place. When I said, I thank you for the sunshine and I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the flowers. I thank you, God, for everything. And I said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And people around me was watching me. And I thought they must think I'm crazy, but I didn't care. I felt so jubilant. I felt so activated in my heart with the glory of God and the burning of the Spirit of Christ. I said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'll tell you tonight, when you get out of the entombment, you will shout hallelujah too. Hallelujah. Those miners trapped over in India. There they were trapped in India, or they are tonight. And I said, Betty, do you suppose that anybody will pray? I said, let's pray. And there in the car we bowed our heads. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Human beings trapped, little children's fathers trapped, people that we could reach out and touch if we were there, just like I could Bill here tonight. People with feelings. And I said, do you believe that anybody's prayed? And I said, let us pray. I said, Betty, I said, God perhaps can't even come down and help them unless somebody prays. Listen, folks. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. We are commanded of God to make intercessory for the people. God cannot and will not encroach upon the rights of humanity until somebody gives him the right. They are a sovereignty and he can't even get close to them unless somebody prays. And by the permission of that person that's praying, God might do something to catch their attention. You might say, well, I don't understand that, Brother Pike, but let me tell you something. Now, even if I pray to God for a sinner, God still cannot come down and interfere with that man's life because that man is a living sovereignty. That life belongs to him and God has given it unto him for an allotted period of time through grace. God will not bother him, and though I pray, God still will not encroach upon the rights of his sovereignty. But if I pray, God will come down. He will speak through somebody. He will cause something, as it was with Moses, a burning bush to catch his attention and to draw his attention away from the world long enough to speak to him. God will do it. Somebody will pass out a tract. Somebody will say something. Something will happen. An incident will occur. Some tragedy will take place and he'll happen to be there at that place, at that very moment, to where God can catch his attention. And as long as I pray, God will keep confronting him. Keep confronting him. I pray for my children, folks. I pray for my mother. I pray for my dad. I pray for you. I pray because we're supposed to pray. The Bible said, pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without. Come on, folks. We scorned hell's angels running up and down the roads out in California. I've been out in that era preaching in the areas of Hollywood and Los Angeles, Placentia and different places. We scorned those people. We scorned the youth because they won't come to God. We scorned the others, and a lot of times we reprove them and say things, and I know that they need the reproof. But let me tell you something. You know what's wrong with them? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, the world is going to hell. I've had preachers to come to me, and they say, Brother Pike, there's never been a day like today. They say that the world is in bad condition. They say that the church world, Brother Pike, is different from what it used to be. That people are no longer concerned about God. But you know what it is? It's that the church has stopped praying and God can't intervene anymore. That's where the trouble is. The church has gone to sleep. If the church and the people would pray, God said if you'll humble your heart and call upon him, he said, I will hear from heaven. I will heal your lands. The fault is the churches. The fault is the churches. If the church would pray, God would let things happen, and those people would become God conscious as they did in the past. And God would confront those evil workers. He said, pray for the leaders of the nation. He said, pray for the kings. Do you ever pray for the Pope of Rome? Do you ever pray for President Ford? Do you ever pray for the Queen of England? Pray. Pray. I've been praying. I've been praying for the leaders. I heard that in this very year, I believe 10 of the foremost leaders of the world, there was a change made in the situations. Praying. Praying. They sang that song this morning, Sister Dale and them. I went by the old home place, and I heard the sound could not enter the door. For I heard them praying, praying, mother praying, praying for someone like me. Hallelujah. I wonder if you're praying for somebody. I wonder if you're praying for your children. I wonder if you pray for Brother Red. Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray that God will give you the right kind of leaders? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you pray? Do you pray? Somebody says, well, I feel like the preacher ought to pray. I do too. But I'll tell you what. There's an old saying that sheep beget sheep. Amen. Shepherds don't beget sheep, do they? Shepherds don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. Shepherds can lead sheep. But he said for you to go out into the highways and the hedges, you to compel them to come in. You're the one that's supposed to fill up the house of God, not the shepherd. The shepherd just supposed to be in condition to take care of them when they come in and feed them. That's all. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Getting on toward a sermon, but we won't be able to get into it tonight. Hallelujah. Something is taking place, folks, such as never took place in the history of the world. I really feel like preaching tonight. I really do. I feel some things on my heart, but I'm not going to hold you. I know some of you's got to go back a long ways, but I want to tell you something tonight. The trouble is in the church and the ministry tonight. That's where it's at. And when we all get straightened out, we won't have to worry. Everything will be all right out there again. We sang that song, everything's going to be all right. Everything will be all right once again out there. Are you telling the glad tidings of great joy? Are you passing out tracts? We give tracts to doctors and to lawyers, and we give tracts to nurses, and we give tracts to everybody down the service station. We give tracts at Kate Kennedy. We give tracts in Hollywood. We give tracts down at Anaheim, there at Disneyland. Everywhere we go, we give tracts to the gambling centers over in Utah. Wherever it's at, we give out tracts. We say something. We try to do something. We try to say grace when we sit down in a place over in Memphis. We sat down in a place way up in Memphis going to eat a little bite. And there we bowed our heads and began to say grace. And a waitress hurried over to where we was and said, I know that you must be Christians. Said, because that's something we don't ever have in here is people coming here talking to God. And she was so thrilled. Got a little light, Brother Taylor says, and I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Hallelujah. In this dark world, somebody needs a light. Somebody needs a light. Do like old brother Gideon done, when we get them lights together and everybody's standing in their place and we sound these trumpets just right, break these little clay pitchers and let that light out. Them creatures of the darkness will be so confused they'll start fighting one another. Amen, that's right. I want you to stand with me tonight. We sang the song, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Hallelujah. Tonight, I know I'm late and I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness and I apologize. I didn't mean to be late. But folks, truthfully, I could have gone into Revelation tonight. Wonderful revelation tonight. I could have gone into it tonight and brought out some things that would have stirred your heart. But tonight I feel that the things that we've said here is needful. You know, until we are faithful over the little things, then God will never make us ruler over the bigger things. The church will never have the spirit of revelation until it can come into the spirit of obedience. When we come into the spirit of obedience, and then we can pass on to the spirit of revelation. For the meat is for the strong. They who have by reason exercise its senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Wouldn't you like to know the deep mysteries of God? Wouldn't you like to understand the deep mysteries of God? You say, why would I want to know those, Brother Pike? Because that is what translates you. That's what's transforming you. That's what's transfiguring you. We sing the song, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. That's the glory that is changing me. Hallelujah. If you can get behind the pastor, stand behind him, support him, work with him. Do everything you can. Don't be a burden to him. Don't be such a one that he has to feed you all the time and take care of you all the time. Don't be one that's always got an excuse why you can't get out and work. The Bible said labor that you might have to give. Get out and do something. Put forth your best. Do something for God. Don't be a burden. Don't be an expense. The Bible said not to be a burden one upon another, but to do something one for another. Is that right? God wants us to do something one for another, that your surplus might help somebody else. That's the way God works. Hallelujah. If you're not doing anything for God, then you need to do something for God. We're going to sing a little chorus. Let's just sing that chorus, John. The light of the glory of his unveiled face. Can you give me a key? Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. Of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, it's the glory that is changing me. While we're singing, I want you to gather around the altar with me tonight. And I want us to sing just a few minutes here around the altar and worship God. If you're a Christian, I want you to come. If you're a sinner, I want you to come. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You might say, but I'm not a Christian, Brother Pike, but that doesn't matter. Because the Bible says everything that hath breath should praise God. And you've got breath tonight. You owe praises to God tonight. Whether you're a saint of God or whether you're a sinner, you owe praises to God tonight. Because God has let you live. You ought to be grateful tonight. Young or old tonight, you ought to be grateful to have the opportunity to come down to the altar tonight and thank God for just a little bit. Just to give him a little praise for what he's done for you. How wonderful, how precious, how glorious to be in the presence of God. Glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Oh, yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face.
It's the glory that is changing me. Do you feel a change coming on? Do you feel different? Do you feel something happening to you? Do you feel that you're thinking different? That you want to act different? Make your life different? Hallelujah. Do you want to praise the Lord? Hallelujah. And be God's people and be part of the God family tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I feel His divine presence tonight. I feel God doing something among the saints of God tonight. Something is awakening. Something is giving. Something is changing in the hearts of mankind. Hallelujah. 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 When I walked out of that tomb, I sang hallelujah. When I got out of that entombment, I sang hallelujah. When you break out of the veil of the soul body tonight, when you break out of the entombment of the soul body tonight, my brother, you've got to shout hallelujah. If you break the old clay pitcher tonight, get away from the veil tonight. Come on the inside of the glory of God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Can you say hallelujah tonight? Can you let go tonight and let God have His wonderful way? Can you do it tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Can we sing that chorus, let go and let God have His wonderful way? Can you lead us in every
Let go and let
God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Can you really let go tonight?
Let go.
Folks, the living reality of God is at hand. The thing that we've longed for, the thing that we've looked for, the thing the church has longed for is at hand. Now's the time to let go. Now's the time to get ready. Now's the time to make the preparation. For the bridegroom is at the door. Now's the time to trim your lamps. Now's the time to find out if there's all of praise in your vessel tonight. If there's all of worship in your vessel tonight. Now's the time to find out. To give praise to the name of the Lord.
Let go and let God have His
way. Can you sing it? Let go and let God have His way tonight.
Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn today. Let go and let God have His way.
Hallelujah.
Let Hallelujah. Go and let God have His way.
Can you let go? Can you let go?
Let go.
Can you break out of that old bodily grave? Can you? Can you get loose? Can you get your spirit out of that old bodily tomb of reasoning tonight? Can you come up above the old human reasoning tonight? The old tree of knowledge tonight? And come into the mind of Christ? Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you do it? You can shout hallelujah if you can do it. Hallelujah. 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 Will vanish your night turn today. Let go and let God have His way. I wonder if we can sing this little chorus. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee.
And when you reach the other side,
you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee.
And when you reach the other side, you
shall be free.
Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said,
for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led.
No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee.
And when you
reach the other side,
you shall be free. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get on the other side of Jordan, you can say hallelujah. When you get over that old carnal mind of death, when you get on the other side, you can say hallelujah. You can say hallelujah. You can say hallelujah. 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 Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 And it's not you living, but Christ living within you. And the life you're living by the Son of God. Hallelujah. Then what a beautiful day, what a beautiful time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. I wonder if we can sing this little chorus of just 111. Can we? Oh, there is one ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. There's one, there ain't but one way to God. Baptized